Accession number 27322, Reel 5.
So?
Dennis Keane, Reel 5.
So I rejoined.
After your leave. What was it like going back on leave? You went back to the UK?
Yeah. And we had relatives in Dover. It was my mother's aunt, and her family lived in Dover. And so when I went back, mum and dad and my sister came with me, stayed at my mum's aunt's, and waved me goodbye from Prince of Wales Pier next morning.
Were you sad to go back? Was that a bit of a wrench, or were you...
Not really, no. No, I say a little problem I'd had, it all gone by then. I was quite happy to go back.
Yeah. And where did you rejoin them?
I didn't stay at any echelon, and it just passed through. And they'd just completed the Bremen attack.
Oh, right.
That day.
Right.
And...
So you missed that. Yeah.
We just missed that.
Yeah.
And next morning we moved out. We were heading for Wilhelmshaven at the time, and it was so different, because by then, in the first couple of weeks I'd been away, because we had quite a spell at B Echelon before I actually left on leave, a friend of myself, Vic, we're going on leave together, spent half our time turning the tails of our shirts into collars and ties, because by then they'd said that all troops could wear collars and ties.
Really?
So we made our own.
And you wanted to wear a collar and tie?
Yes, well, yeah.
Why was that?
Looked nicer. Looked far nicer than a buttoned up, and more comfortable as well.
Yeah.
So we turned ourselves into tailors for 2 or 3 days.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah. And was this with a view just of wooing the ladies?
No.
Ladies,
just nice,
pride,
yeah. Pride in her own appearance, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think most of them did things like that.
So?
Went back. The first thing, big difference was when I went in, reported back to battalion headquarters, there was a damn great German generator outside going full blast, lots of noise, you know, great big diesel jenny, with all the headquarters with lights, you know, bright lights and things. And then we moved, and they got two generators by then going flat out. And we went out to lay a line, another corporal, who's still a friend of mine, and that was Fred, who demonstrated his agility in climbing German telephone poles. And all we were doing was cutting the wires off, following the wires up till we got as near to our company as we were laying the line to as we could, cutting them again, tagging on to the end, and laying down to the company headquarters.
So you were joining your wire up to one end.
No longer we crawling along the ground trying to lug a cable behind us. We were not only standing up, we were getting up in the air and laying lines.
Did you feel like invaders in Germany? Or?
A bit later, yeah. By then, I mean, we were still busy. Like in line. Not much time to worry about anything else.
So you were still going forward? And was there much resistance?
No, not very much. There was some, but not very much by then. Because this was literally the last few days. And then we were pulled out of that. And we were sent to protect Mylag Marlag 5. POW camp had been a marine, of course,
right.
As it was Marlag, it was the main Marlag, apparently, south of Hamburg.
And this was for marines, was
Well, no, anything in Navy.
Oh, right.
Merchant Navy and Royal Navy.
Right, okay.
I think Marlag originally had been merchant, and Mylag was probably military
right.
for
okay.
Navy.
And this was south of Hamburg,
wasn't yeah.
it? Yeah.
And we were just sent there to protect them.
Right.
In case the Germans tried to move counterattack.
Right. So, what sort of, describe to me what you saw at Marlag 5. What sort of a camp was
Blokes
it?
Having a hell of a time. Having a hell of a time.
In what way? Difficult time or a good
well,
time?
Well, more or less, by the time we got there, they were in control of the camp, of course.
Right. What sort of state were they in? Did they look well fed?
Not too bad,
Yeah.
I mean, they'd got a lot of people who'd marched across Germany into the camps, because they were all mixed up by then.
Right, yes.
There were army, all sorts.
Mm,
They got slit trenches dug all round the outside, all round the camp, if they had to dive into them.
Right.
They got the brewing going well, with illicit liquor of one sort or another. And
British are good at that,
yeah.
aren't they?
And then one evening, we were lying on our beds in this house when the news came across. It was all over. In the morning, all hostilities to cease.
What did you feel when you heard that?
Great. It was over, you know. We could get up and do what we wanted to do, basically. And the
prisoners in the camp, I mean, they weren't prisoners any longer.
No, but they all dived into the slit trenches because our blokes started a fire, of course, fire things up into the air. One or two houses went up in flames because they'd all got thatched roofs. That was from Veery lights landing on them and other things. And I know we fetched them out. We went across and told them it was all over, not to worry. And said, right, we'll get some liquor. We know where to go. So they went around and knocked this house up. Called for Frau somebody or other. Came back with bottles of wine. And next day we moved on. And we moved. No, it must have been about a day later. A day or so later, because it was actually on the 8th. On the 5th, that we actually, between the 5th and the 8th, we moved. And that, of course, we moved up to the banks of the Elbe. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we saw all this massive move of individuals.
The DP.
Half of Europe on the move. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were British POW going back. We saw them, some of them on a fire engine, others in civvy cars going back somewhere. But there were people on the move in every direction, thousands of them. And thousands of German soldiers. Mm. And remember seeing one big bunch of women auxiliaries moving back. Mm. And we moved into a place called Blekkede. Blekkede, Blekkede.
Thank you.
Which is almost on the banks of the Elbe, just a little bit back.
So, I mean, quite a bit of celebrating, but was there any, the Germans accepted this, did they? There was no fight left in them?
No. Well, I'll tell you a little thing. When we moved in, the next morning, we got our signals carrier, because that was a carrier with a big cable drum on the back. And we were laying a line to one of the companies. And again, it was the same corporal. And we went up this track. We got no weapons, of course. Didn't bother to take any weapons with us, as you'd imagine. And we're going up towards this wood. And all at once, about 50 or more Germans came out of the wood. And we went, ooh, you know. Oh dear. And there were all sorts. There were police, railway officials, soldiers, all sorts. A real 52 varieties. And we thought, oh, we're in trouble now. You know, not a weapon between the three of us. And all they wanted to do was surrender. So we just sent them back and go that way. Thought somebody else at headquarters could look after them while we finished laying our line. Mm.
So amazing, really, that's... Presumably they'd had enough.
Yeah. They'd always have been compulsory recruited, because they were all sorts.
Was the first thing you thought about going home now that the war was over? Did
not
you
really.
Think you wanted to go home?
No, I think it was pretty well decided. Well, no, because what we were more worried about was being sent to the Far East and having to do it all again. Because that war was still on.
Yes. So, did you have any policing duties in Bekkadi, or were you... So the army sort of governed the area.
Yeah, but that would be for the, that would be, they would have used the rifle platoons, rifle companies for that job. Mm. Mm. We'd just do our own guards.
Right.
I mean, we were still manning our switchboard, but the only difference is we had a civilian, presumably a British civilian switchboard, delivered to us.
Right.
A normal one like I used a bit at work and when I first started.
Mm.
And that's right. And the one SU something 50. Because they found out I could use it, so if our regular telephonist was away, I used to have to take over. So same one as my wife used. Yeah.
So, how long did you stay there? Were you there for
about a month?
Yeah.
And then they said, right, you specialist, you're being sent to relieve people from the Middle East. Who were coming home, who were being sent home on Python. That was 3 years overseas service. So off, 1500 weight went with us, about half a dozen of us in there. Another signaller, couple of blokes from the mortar platoon, another couple of chaps, and an officer. Oh, wait a minute. There's one thing I think worth recording. While I was there, I got quite friendly with the orderly room staff. They tended to be grammar school as well. And we started an amateur dramatics thing. But it was quite good. So we got that going, and then they dragged me away. And we were sent down to Brunswick, I think, to the RHU again, back to the RHUs, where we got mixed up with all the people who had been sent back to the Far East. They never saw any of the others again, ever. And so we went to every RHU from Germany, we went back to as far as Belgium, and we went to every RHU in Belgium, Ghent, Bruges, Dendermonde, all from one to the other have been mucked about. They steadily reduced the requirements. At first you were all going, and we're stripping you right back to air portable. So all this kit, all our kit was brought down to one kit bag. You had a job to keep your writing materials, so that was done. And then they said, no, we don't want everybody, we only want airborne. So volunteers for an airborne division. Well, we'd seen what happened to airborne divisions, so we didn't bother with that, particularly going back to the UK, and we knew we were better off on the continent anyway. Then it was only, we only want paratroops. So that was definitely a question of leaving altogether, down to the nearest cab to get something to drink. And eventually, I think even before the war finished in the Far East, we were sent back to Germany. We had had things like a riot and a strike in between.
Where was the riot?
I think it was Bruges. It may have been Ghent.
In the RHU.
Yeah, we'd had enough.
We
weren't demobbed. We just wanted to be sorted. We wanted to go back to a decent unit. We were getting no cigarettes. They hadn't given us much pay. We were limited to about £1 a week, which was useless.
Did you riot?
Well, we all did.
Yeah.
We all went on strike. We all went outside and they put a great big swastika flag at the top of the mast. Wrecked all the PA equipment, because they got PA equipment in these buildings, shouting their orders. So we didn't want any of that, did we? We'd had enough orders shouted at us. So we hadn't lasted a day. Yeah, once you get out of our system, everything was all right again.
How did the officers react?
There weren't many of them about. It was an RHU, because they didn't have many officers in the RHU. Just some bossy sergeants. And they soon told what to do. I think they were the first ones down to the local cafe. Get out of it. Nothing happened much, you know. Just did it. Right. They moved us, though. We moved to another RHU. And of course, there were all these stories that the RSM was the same RSM who killed these blokes in a military prison in the UK. He'd been posted, you know. I'm sure that he wasn't, but no, but that was the sort of stories that were going about. Anyway, eventually, we all ended up back in Germany.
Did you get sent back to the Worcesters again?
No.
No.
That was the worst part of it.
Yeah. Who did you get sent to?
I got sent to the 5 Div and 5th Essex.
Oh, right.
Who'd been in the Middle East and Italy all the war.
Mm.
Hadn't done much in Italy. They'd been mainly in most of the war they'd spent in Khartoum.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And they were TA battalion. They were the finest battalion I ever went to.
Really? Why did you say that?
So friendly.
Really?
Everybody knew everybody else, almost. And the recruits before us had joined about 2 years before. So they were well integrated. They were a couple of years older than ourselves. And they'd joined them in Italy or in Palestine. And it was a marvellous outfit. I went to Signal Platoon and they said, well, we don't really need you. Will you go as headquarter company runner? I said, yeah, I'll do that. And so I was touring round, taking messages and things out to the companies. And they said, well, what have you done? I said, I've been a clerk. Can you use the typewriter? I said, just about. All right then. So they took me into the office as well, company office. You're on the company office rota for evening and night duty. And they made me headquarter company post corporal, because you had a post corporal for the battalion, and I was on for the company. So I was sending all the parcels back, because nearly all the blokes had been demobbed anyway. And I ended up as company clerk there.
Did you like that?
Yeah. Great. Because I say the officers were, everybody there was so friendly. I mean, all the pre-war blokes knew one another.
And they'd been together a long time.
Yes, and of course the company commander and his sergeant major, the company commander owned, I believe, the garage. And the sergeant major was his top mechanic, before the war. And I don't know what happened to it. I suppose the one was demobbed, and the sergeant, I don't know what happened to the sergeant major. He was made RQMS before we broke up, because there's been a tear mob. We broke up in May 46.
Right, okay.
While I was there, the company commander and his friend said, right, you like theatre? I said, yeah. So he said, get your mate, your escort, and we're off to Hamburg. So I saw I went to three performances of the Old Vic in Hamburg.
Did you?
It was the first time I'd seen really top class. Richardson, Olivier.
Really? Do you remember the plays?
Peer Gynt. Richard III, and Richard III was brilliant. And another Shakespeare. Not sure which one. Oh, it was, yes. Hamlet, I'm sure. But Richardson in Peer Gynt was marvellous. And I say Olivier in Richard III.
How wonderful.
It was marvellous. Being bounced around in a... It was worth being bounced around in the back of a 1500 weight for that.
And why did the officers take you? Was it just because he liked?
Okay, well, no, he was the command. He was the company commander, and I mean, he knew me.
Yeah.
Headquarter Captain Townsend, he was.
Yeah. Oh, right.
He knew me, and
yeah. How wonderful.
He knew my sort of interest. Yes, come along. Right. But I say it was that sort of place.
Mm. Very different to the other battalions and companies you've been in before, by the sound of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the one before, the CO got us all lined up on about a day after we got to Blackton and said, right, lads, you can start your real soldiering now. You know, the war's over. Spread everywhere, on parade, you know. Battalion parade next week, blancoed, and yeah. I didn't even blanco in the 5th battalion. They scrubbed. We got all white. We got from 5th, from 5th, you see, we got all white equipment.
Yeah.
But the ironic thing about it, I'd only been with the 5th battalion about a month before they sent me. I went on leave. When I came back on off leave, I ended up back in Blackadder.
Oh, right.
Because in the time that I'd been on leave, 1st Worcesters and 5th Essex had changed places.
Oh, right.
So I was back in 43rd Div again.
Right. And what was happening in
Blackadder?
Anything?
Except these 5th Essex had moved in.
Right.
And of course, fraternisation was okay by then.
Mm-hmm.
Now all those restrictions were off.
And was there a lot of fraternisation?
Oh yeah.
Mm.
Before it even came up, I was amazed because we'd come down through all these RHUs and things. I joined the 5th Essex, and on the morning of VJ Day, I was on guard. Doing the last guard in the morning. Headquarters was on the top of a hill or a slope, and I was amazed to see all these blokes turning out of all these houses to be ready for early morning parade, going back to work. I hadn't seen anything, I hadn't realised it was like that at all.
And it was clearly tolerated.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Nobody worried at all. Yeah. It was great. I mean, we were a Blackadder, and we had one company down on the close to the river, and I used to cycle there in the dark, in the winter, every night with the mail. Never took a weapon. Just me and my bike. No trouble, never even thought about it, you know. It was like that.
Yeah.
It was like back to Civvy Street.
Yeah. Were there big celebrations on VJ Day?
Not for us, no.
No.
Not really.
It was over for you beforehand.
Yes, yeah. And of course, the other thing about the 5th, we didn't have lunch, dinner. We didn't have midday lunch or midday dinner. We had tiffin.
Because they'd been out east.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm. They were different. Mm. That was a sad day when they broke us up.
Yeah. So were you still in Germany when they disbanded it?
Yeah. Disbanded and reformed in the UK.
Right.
And later day, just before I was demobbed, I went back for there when they reformed it.
Right. So just clarify that for me. In May 46, the battalion was disbanded.
Yeah.
Right. And where did you physically go? Did you stay in Germany?
I should have stayed in Germany. Mm. But the 2nd battalion.
Right.
Which by that time had gone into 5 div.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The 2nd battalion asked for me.
Right. So you went to them.
Yeah.
2nd battalion of the Essex. Mm.
Yeah. I shouldn't have done. I had to voluntarily go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I was supposedly near enough demob.
Right. And where was the 2nd Essex based?
Southern Germany.
Oh, that was in Germany.
Between Nienburg and Goslar.
Yeah. And what was that battalion like?
It was all right. Because they gave me the job of QM's clerk, so I was in a little tiny unit. Dozen or more. That was all. A bit special. And a lot of, even though I was only QM's clerk, you got a lot of power, because you could say yay or nay. It wasn't too bad. But it was filling up with post-war kids, you see.
So you were getting post-war.
And by then I was an old soldier after 2 years' service. Yeah.
Were there lots of scams going on of fiddles?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're going out all over the place.
Yeah. And did you all earn something out of them and get a bit more comfortable?
Yeah. Oh, well, we all joined in where we got the chance. Yeah. It's not the same. It was trying to be a pre-war battalion, permanent regular battalion, and it never was, of course, because blokes were leaving all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it never worked. Yeah.
Dennis Keane, end of Reel 5. Dennis Keane, Reel 6.
Mm.
So you're with the 2nd Essex.
Went to the 2nd Essex, yeah.
South Germany. And how long did you stay there?
Well, we were 13 Brigade, and we were allocated as the Imperial Reserve. Typically for the army, we were given the latest of everything. We had the new air portable Mark V rifles, which were the shortened ones for jungle fighting. We were given all brand new trucks, new Dodge trucks. Everything was brand new, because we were the Imperial Reserve. And then we were on something like 3 weeks' notice to move at all times. So I was bringing up to war establishment, or trying to, anything that was missing on the equipment side. And we were given orders, we were moving. So the first thing we did was handed in all this brand new equipment back to the Ordnance Depot in Hamburg. All we kept were our rifles, our Mark V's and the Brens, but everything else had to go back. We moved by train from Germany up back to Calais, and then all the way down to Trieste, because the Yugoslavs were playing up and our job was to keep them out. We took over from a battalion, I'm not sure who, because actually I'd gone by the time we got there. Our advance party had actually taken over.
In Trieste.
Yeah. From the battalion of 56th Division, which was all TA and all breaking up, of course. And we took over the biggest load of old rubbish that anybody had ever seen. It had come up through the, all the way from North Africa to all the way up to Trieste.
And this is the equipment?
Yeah, the equipment. I understand there was only about two trucks in the transport lines which would run. What we took over were broken down everything's. You know, things like the medicine chests were half empty, and certainly there was no brandy in them. And everything was the same. I understand the signal platoon was no better off. And so we had to start all over again. By that time, nobody was really interested because all the depots in Italy were closing down.
So, anyway, the quartermaster's clerk, you were trying to locate new stuff.
Yeah, trying to find stuff. At least I'm trying to get it out of Italy, and that was hopeless. So we were doing that, and they were mounting guards and that kind of thing. It didn't concern me at all. End of the year. By the way, I enjoyed Trieste. It was a nice town. But at the end of the year, can I stop it? And we moved at the end of the year to Mestre, which is at the landward end of the causeway, which links Venice to the mainland. So every trip to area sub-district was to, if I wanted to get vouchers signed or anything, was first of all a jeep ride into Piazza di Roma, catch a boat and along the Grand Canal to 86 sub-area headquarters to get me a little ticket signed.
How lovely.
And usually I'd be offered a lift. I was standing there at the edge with papers. Some officer or other would, with his motorboat would stop and offer me a ride. Usually a padre. They were very good at giving lifts. And, yeah, that bit was great. Yeah.
Was it work hard? I mean, did you work hard or was it more cruising now?
It was basically cruising. Because by then we knew that the battalion was breaking up. Because by then the War Office had said there would only be one battalion kept, and as we were the second, this was the first that was kept. So while most of this was going on, my job was to take everything back, get everything back that we got back to depot. In a year I'd gone the whole round from trying to fill the place to trying to empty it. And
how much was wasted? Was there a huge amount of waste?
Tremendous waste. We took back. First of all, we had three 1500 weights and a 3-tonner. We only had the 1500 weights to tow the 6-pounders. We'd only got three of them by then, obviously. Three or four. We certainly hadn't got six. That was went more or less according to plan. It was all heavy stuff. But then they gave me a couple of 3-tonners to take the stuff back with. I had a guard on the 3-tonners. And they went back fairly well. But then they gave me allocated me a 10-ton Mack, big American truck, the RSC driver. And I said, look, we only got one truck now. I don't need an outside driver. Let Bill do it. Now, Bill was the... And we moved